mercy through which love can enter. To receive more love, we need to have people in our life with whom we can openly and safely share our feelings. It's very powerful to have some select people in your life with whom you can share every feeling and trust that they'll still love you and not hurt you with criticism, judgment, or rejection. When you can share who you are and how you feel, then you can fully receive love. If you have this love, then it's easier to release negative emotional symptoms like resentment, anger, fear, and so forth. This doesn't mean that you need to share everything you feel and discover in private, but if there are feelings that you're afraid to share, then gradually these fears need to be healed. A loving therapist or close friend can be a tremendous source of love and healing if you can share your inner and deepest feelings. If you don't have a therapist, then having a friend read your letters from time to time is very helpful. Writing in private will make you feel better, but occasionally sharing your love letters with another person who cares and can be understanding is essential. The power of the group. The power of group support is something that cannot be described but has to be experienced. A loving and supportive group can do wonders to help us more easily get in touch with our deeper feelings. To share your feelings with a group means that there are more people available to give you love. The potential for growth is magnified by the size of the group. Even if you don't speak out in a group, by listening to others speak openly and honestly about their feelings, your awareness and insight expand. When I lead group seminars around the country, I repeatedly experience deeper parts of myself that need to be heard and understood. When someone stands up and shares their feelings, suddenly I begin to remember something or feel something within myself. I gain valuable new insights about myself and others. At the end of each seminar, I generally feel much lighter and more loving. Everywhere, small support groups on almost every topic meet each week to give and receive this support. Group support is especially helpful if, as children, we didn't feel safe to express ourselves in groups or in our family. While any positive group activity is empowering, speaking or listening in a loving and supportive group can be personally healing. I meet regularly with a small men's support group, and my wife Bonnie meets regularly with her woman's support group. Getting this outside support greatly enhances our relationship. It frees us from looking to each other as the sole source of support. In addition, by listening to others share their successes and failures, our own problems tend to shrink. Taking time to listen. Whether you're privately writing down your thoughts and feelings, sharing them in therapy, in your relationships, or in a support group, you're taking an important step for yourself. When you take the time to listen to your feelings, you're in effect saying to the little feeling person inside, "You matter, you deserve to be heard, and I care enough to listen." I hope you'll use this love letter technique because I've witnessed it transform the lives of thousands of people, including my own. As you write more love letters, it becomes easier and works better. It takes practice, but it's worth it. Chapter 12, How to Ask for Support and Get It. If you're not getting the support you want in your relationships, a significant reason may be that you don't ask enough, or you may ask in a way that doesn't work. Asking for love and support is essential to the success of any relationship. If you want to G-E-T, get, then you have to A-S-K, ask. Both men and women have difficulty asking for support. Women, however, tend to find it much more frustrating and disappointing if they have to ask for support than men do. For this reason, I'll be addressing this chapter to women. But of course, every suggestion will also work for men as well. Why women don't ask. Women make the mistake of thinking that they don't have to ask for support, because quite often they intuitively feel the needs of others and give whatever they can. They expect men to do the same. When a woman's in love, she instinctively offers her love. With great delight and enthusiasm, she looks for ways to offer her support. The more she loves someone, the more motivated she is to offer her love. Back on Venus, everyone automatically gives support, so there's no reason to ask for it. In fact, not needing to ask is one of the ways they show their love for one another. On Venus, their motto is, love is never having to ask. Because this is her reference point, she assumes that if her partner loves her, he'll offer his support and she won't have to ask. She may even purposefully not ask as a test to see if he really loves her. To pass the test, she requires that he anticipate her needs and offer his unsolicited support. This approach to relationships with men doesn't work. Men are from Mars, and on Mars, if you want support, you simply have to ask for it. Men are not instinctively motivated to offer their support. They need to be asked. This can be very confusing because if you ask a man for support in the wrong way, he gets turned off. And if you don't ask at all, you'll get little or none. In the beginning of a relationship, if a woman doesn't get the support she wants, she then assumes that he's not giving because he has nothing more to give. She patiently and lovingly continues to give, assuming that sooner or later he'll catch up. He assumes, however, he's giving enough, because she continues giving to him. He doesn't realize she's expecting him to give back. He thinks that if she needed or wanted more, she'd stop giving. But since she's from Venus, she not only wants more, but also expects him to offer his support without being asked. But he's waiting for her to ask for support if she wants it. If she's not asking for support, he assumes he's giving enough. Eventually, she may ask for his support, but by this time, she's given so much more and feels so much resentment that her request is really a demand. Some women will resent a man simply because she has to ask. Then when she does ask, even if he says yes and gives her some support, she'll still resent that she had to ask. She feels, if I have to ask, it doesn't count. Men don't respond well to demands and resentment. Even if a man is willing to give support, her resentment or demands will lead him to say no. Demands are a complete turnoff. Her chances of getting his support are dramatically reduced when a request becomes a demand. In some cases, he'll even give less for a while if he senses that she's demanding more. This pattern makes relationships with men very difficult for unaware women. Though this problem may feel insurmountable, it can be solved. By remembering that men are from Mars, you can learn new ways to ask for what you want, ways that work. In my seminars, I've trained thousands of women in the art of asking, and they repeatedly have had immediate success. In this chapter, we'll explore the three steps involved in asking for and getting what you want. They are, 1, practice asking correctly for what you're already getting. 2, practice asking for more, even when you know he'll say no and accept his no. 3, practice assertive asking. Step 1, asking correctly for what you're already getting. The first step in learning how to get more in your relationships is to practice asking for what you're already getting. Become aware of what your partner is already doing for you, especially the little things like carrying boxes, fixing things, cleaning up, making calls, or other little chores. The important part of this stage is to begin asking him to do the little things he already does and not to take him for granted. Then when he does those things, give him a lot of appreciation. Temporarily, give up expecting him to offer his support unsolicited. In step 1, it's important not to ask for more than what he's used to giving. Focus on asking him to do the little things that he normally does. Allow him to become used to hearing you ask for things in a non-demanding tone. When he hears a demanding tone, no matter how nicely you phrase your request, all he hears is that he's not giving enough. This makes him feel unloved and unappreciated. His tendency is then to give less until you appreciate what he's already giving. He may be conditioned by you or his mother immediately to say no to your requests. In step 1, you'll be reconditioning him to respond positively to your requests. When a man gradually realizes that he is appreciated and not taken for granted, and that he pleases you, he'll want to respond positively to your requests when he can. Then he'll begin automatically offering his support. But this advanced stage shouldn't be expected in the beginning. But there's another reason to start asking him for what he's already giving. You need to be sure you're asking in a way he can hear you and respond. That's what I mean when I say asking correctly. Tips for motivating a man. There are 5 secrets of how to correctly ask a Martian for support. If they're not observed, he may be easily turned off. They are appropriate timing, non-demanding attitude, be brief, be direct, and use correct wording. Let's look at each more closely. 1. Appropriate timing. Be careful not to ask him to do something that he's obviously just planning to do. For example, if he's about to empty the trash, don't say, "Could you empty the trash?" He'll feel you're telling him what to do. Timing is crucial. Also, if he's fully focused on something, don't expect him immediately to respond to your request. 2. Non-demanding attitude. Remember, a request is not a demand. If you have a resentful or demanding attitude, no matter how carefully you choose your words, he'll still feel unappreciated for what he's already given, and probably say no. 3. Be brief. Avoid giving him a list of reasons why he should help you. Assume that he doesn't have to be convinced. The longer you explain yourself, the more he'll resist. Long explanations validating your request make him feel as though you don't trust him to support you. And remember how important trust is to men. He'll start to feel manipulated or convinced instead of free to offer his support. Just as a woman who's upset doesn't want to hear a list of reasons and explanations why she shouldn't be upset, a man doesn't want to hear a list of reasons and explanations about why he should fulfill her request. Women mistakenly give a list of reasons to justify their needs. They think it will help him see that her request is valid and therefore motivate him. What a man hears is, "This is why you have to do it." The longer the list, the more he may resist supporting you. On the other hand, if you make your request brief and he asks you why, then you can give your reasons, but then again, be cautiously brief. Practice trusting that he'll do it if he can. Be as brief as possible. 4. Be direct. Women often think they're asking for support when they're not. When she needs support, a woman may present the problem, but not directly ask for his support. She expects him to offer his support and neglects directly to ask for it. An indirect request implies the request, but does not directly say it. These indirect requests make a man feel taken for granted and unappreciated. Occasionally using indirect statements is certainly okay, but when they're repeatedly used, a man becomes resistant to giving his support. He may not even know why he's so resistant. The following statements are all examples of indirect requests and how a man might respond to them. "Would you pick up the kids?" Now that's brief and direct. "The kids need to be picked up and I can't do it." That's indirect. And when you're indirect, what he hears is, "If you can pick them up, you should. Otherwise, I'll feel very unsupported and resent you." That's a demand. "Would you bring in the groceries?" That's direct. "The groceries are in the car." That's indirect. And what he hears in an indirect request could be, "It's your job to bring them in. I went shopping." That's an expectation. "Would you empty the trash?" That's brief and direct. "I can't fit anything else into the trash can." That's indirect. What he hears is, "You haven't emptied the trash. You shouldn't wait so long." Criticism. "Would you clean up the backyard?" That's direct. The backyard is really a mess. That's indirect. What he hears is, you didn't clean up the yard again. You should be more responsible. I shouldn't have to remind you. Rejection. Would you bring in the mail? That's direct. The mail hasn't been brought in yet. That's indirect. What he might hear is, you forgot to bring in the mail. You should remember. Disapproval. Would you take us out to eat tonight? That's direct. I have no time to make dinner tonight. That's indirect. What he might hear is, I've done so much, the least you could do is take us out tonight. Certainly he's not going to feel appreciated with that comment. Would you take me out this week? That's direct. We haven't gone out in weeks. What he hears, you're neglecting me. I'm not getting what I need. You should take me out more often. He hears resentment. Would you schedule some time to talk? That's direct. We need to talk. That's indirect. What he hears is, it's your fault we don't talk enough. You should talk with me more. Let's summarize. There are 5 tips for motivating a man. 1, appropriate timing. 2, non-demanding attitude. 3, be brief. 4, be direct. And now 5, use correct wording. One of the most common mistakes in asking for support is the use of the word could and can in place of would and will. Could you empty the trash? Is merely a question. It's gathering information. Would you empty the trash? Is a request. Women often use could you indirectly to imply would you. As I've mentioned before, indirect requests are a turnoff. When used occasionally, they certainly go unnoticed, but persistently using can and could begins to irritate men. When I suggest to women that they begin asking for support, sometimes they panic because their partners have already made comments many times, such as, don't nag me. Don't ask me to do things all the time. Stop telling me what to do. I already know what to do. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to tell me that. In spite of how it sounds to a woman, when a man makes this kind of a comment, what he really means is, I don't like the way you ask. If a woman doesn't understand how certain language can affect men, she'll become even more confused. She becomes afraid to ask and starts saying, could you? Because she thinks that's being more polite. Though this works well on Venus, it doesn't work on Mars. On Mars, it's kind of an insult to ask a man, can you empty the trash? Of course he can empty the trash. The question is not, can he empty the trash, but will he empty the trash? After he's been insulted, he may say no just because you've irritated him. What men want to be asked. When I explain this distinction between the C words, can and could, and the W words, will and would, in my seminars, women tend to think I'm making a big deal over nothing. To women, there's not much difference. In fact, could you may even seem more polite than would you. But to many men, it's a big difference. Because this distinction is so important, I'm including comments by 17 different men who attended my seminars. When given an opportunity to talk about this distinction, this is what they said. The first man said, when I'm asked, could you clean up the backyard? I really take it literally. I say, I could do it. Sure, it's possible. But I'm not saying I will do it. And I certainly don't feel like I'm making a promise to do it. On the other hand, when I'm asked, would you clean up the backyard? I begin to make a decision, and I'm willing to be supportive. If I say yes, the chances of my remembering to do it are much greater because I've made a promise. When a woman says, I need your help, could you please help? It sounds critical, like somehow I've already failed her. It doesn't feel like an invitation to be the good guy I want to be and support her. On the other hand, I need your help. Would you please carry this? Sounds like a request and an opportunity to be the good guy. I want to say yes. A third man said, when my wife says, can you change Christopher's diaper? I think inside, Sure, I can change it. I'm capable. And a diaper is a simple thing to change. But then if I don't feel like doing it, I might make some excuse. Now, if she asked, would you change Christopher's diaper? I'd say, yeah, sure, and do it. Inside, I would feel, I like to participate, and I enjoy helping raise our children. I want to help. The fourth man said, when I'm asked, would you help me, please? It gives me an opportunity to help, and I'm more than willing to support her. But when I hear, could you help me, please? I feel backed up against the wall, as if I have no choice. If I have the ability to help, then I'm expected to help. I don't feel as appreciated. The fifth man said, I resent being asked, could you? I feel like I have no choice but to say yes. If I say no, she'll be upset with me. It's not a request, but a demand. The sixth man said, I keep myself busy, or at least pretend to be busy, so that the woman I work with doesn't ask me the could you question. With would you, I feel I have a choice, and I want to help. A seventh man said, just this last week, my wife asked me, could you plant the flowers today? And without hesitation, I said yes. Then when she came home, she asked, did you plant the flowers? I said, no. She said, could you do it tomorrow? And again, without hesitation, I said, yes. This happened every day this week, and the flowers are still not planted. I think if she had asked me, would you plant the flowers tomorrow? I would have thought about it. And if I had said yes, I would have done it. The next man said, yes, I could do that. I'm not committing myself to doing it. I'm just saying that I could do it. I've not yet promised to do it. If she gets upset with me, I feel like she doesn't have a right. But if I say I will do it, then I can understand why she's upset if I don't do it. The next man stood up and said, I grew up with five sisters, and now I'm married and have three daughters. When my wife says, can you bring out the trash? I just don't answer. Then she asks, why? And I don't even know. Now I realize why. I feel controlled. I can respond to, would you? The tenth man said, when I hear a could you, I immediately say yes, of course I can do that. And then over the next 10 minutes, I'll realize why I'm not going to do it, and then ignore the question. But when I hear a will you, a part of me comes up saying, yes, I want to be of service. And then even if objections come up later in my mind, I'll still fulfill her request because I've given my word. The 11th man stood up and said, I'll also say yes to a can you, but inside I resent her. I feel that if I say no, she'll throw a fit. I feel manipulated. When she asks, would you, I feel free to say yes or no. It's then my choice, and then I want to say yes. The 12th man stood up. He said, when a woman asks me, would you do this? I feel assured inside that I'm going to get a point for this. I feel appreciated and happy to give. The 13th man stood up and said, when I hear a would you, I feel I'm being trusted to serve. But when I hear a can you or could you, I hear a question behind the question. She's asking me if I can empty the trash when it's obvious that I could. But behind her question is really the request, which she doesn't trust me enough to directly ask. The 14th man stood up and he said, when a woman asks, would you or will you, I feel her vulnerability. I'm much more sensitive to her and her needs. I definitely don't want to reject her. But when she says, could you, I'm much more apt to say no, because I know it's not a rejection of her. It's simply an impersonal statement saying, I can't do it. She won't take it personally if I say no to a, can you do this? The 15th man stood up and said, for me, would you makes it personal, and I want to give. But could you makes it impersonal, and I'll give if it's convenient or if I don't have anything else to do. The 16th man said, when a woman says, could you please help me? I can feel her resentment, and I'll resist her. But if she says, would you please help me? I can't hear any resentment, even if there is some. I'm willing to say yes. The 17th man stood up and said, when a woman says, could you do this for me? I get kind of honest and say, I'd rather not. That lazy part of me comes out. But when I hear a, would you please, I become creative and start thinking of ways to help. One way women are sure to relate to the significant difference between would and could is to reflect for a moment on this romantic scene. Imagine a man proposing marriage to a woman. His heart is full, like the moon shining above. Kneeling before her, he reaches out to hold her hands. Then he gazes up into her eyes and gently says, "Could you marry me?" Immediately, the romance is gone. Using the C word, he appears weak and unworthy. "Could you marry me?" In that moment, he reeks of insecurity and low self-esteem. If instead he said, "Would you marry me?" then both his strength and vulnerability are present. That's the way to propose. In a similar way, a man requires that a woman propose her requests in this manner. Use the W words. The C words sound too untrusting, indirect, weak, and manipulative. When she says, "Could you empty the trash?" the message he receives is, "If you can empty it, then you should do it. I would do it for you." From his point of view, he feels it's obvious that he can do it. In neglecting to ask for his support, he feels she's manipulating him or taking him for granted. He doesn't feel trusted to be there for her if he can. I remember one woman in a seminar explaining the difference in Venusian terms. She said, "At first I couldn't feel the difference between the two ways of asking, but then I turned it around. It feels very different to me when he says, 'No, I can't do it,' versus, 'No, I will not do it.' The 'I will not do it' is a personal rejection. If he says, 'I can't do it,' then it's no reflection on me. It's just that he can't do it." Common mistakes in asking. The hardest part of learning to ask is remembering how to do it. Try using the W words whenever possible. It will take a lot of practice. To ask a man for support: 1. Be direct. 2. Be brief. 3. Use "would you" and "will you" phrases. It's best not to be too indirect, too lengthy, or to employ phrases such as "could you" or "can you." Let's look at some examples. Do say, "Would you empty the trash?" Don't say, "The kitchen's a mess. It really stinks. I can't fit anything else into the trash bag. It needs to be emptied. Could you do it?" This is too long and uses "could." What would have worked is simply, "Would you empty the trash?" Do say, "Would you help me move this table?" Don't say, "I can't move this table. I need to rearrange it before our party tonight. Could you please help?" Even though obviously she's trying to be polite, it works on Venus but not Mars. This is too long, and again she uses "could." Do say, "Would you please put this away for me?" Don't say, "I can't put all this away." This is, again, an indirect message. Do say, "Would you bring the groceries in from the car?" Don't say, "I have 4 bags of groceries left in the car, and I need that food to make dinner. Could you bring them in?" This is too long, indirect, and again uses "could." Do say, "Would you pick up a bottle of milk on your way home?" Don't say, "You'll be going by the store. Lauren needs a bottle of milk. I just can't go out again. I'm so tired. Today was a bad day. Could you get it?" This is way too long, indirect, and once again uses "could." Do say, "Would you pick Julie up from school today?" Don't say, "Julie needs a ride home and I can't pick her up. Do you have the time? Do you think you could pick her up?" This is too long, indirect, and again uses "could." Do say, "Would you take Zoe to the vet today?" Don't say, "It's time for Zoe to get her shots. Would you like to take her to the vet?" Of course he wouldn't like to take her to the vet. Who wants to take a dog to the vet? So when she says, "Would you like to take the dog to the vet?" and he says, "No," she's going to hear rejection, when the truth is he's just being honest when he says, "I wouldn't like to take the dog to the vet. Of course, I'd be happy to take the dog to the vet if you want me to." That's why it's important to say, "Would you take Zoe to the vet today?" Do say, "Would you take us to dinner tonight?" Don't say, I'm too tired to make dinner. We haven't gone out in a long time. Do you want to go out? This is too lengthy and indirect. Quite often, women will say to their husbands, would you like to go out tonight? He'll check inside and go, no, I'd rather stay home. He doesn't realize that she's really asking him to take her out. Do say, would you zip me up? Don't say, I need your help. Could you zip me up? This is indirect and again uses could. Do say, would you build a fire for us tonight? Don't say, it's really cold. Are you going to build a fire? This is too indirect. Do say, would you take me to a movie this week? Don't say, do you want to go to a movie this week? This is too indirect. Do say, would you help Lauren put on her shoes? Don't say, Lauren still hasn't put on her shoes. We're late. I can't do this all by myself. Could you help? This is too long, indirect, and again uses could. Do say, would you sit down with me now or sometime tonight and talk about our schedule? Don't say, I have no idea what's going on. We haven't talked, and I need to know what you're doing. This again is too long and indirect and sounds like criticism. As you've probably noticed by now, what you think has been asking is not asking to Martians. They hear something else. It takes a conscious effort to make these little but significant changes in the way you ask for his support. I suggest practicing at least 3 months correcting the way you'd ask for things before moving on to step two. Other request statements that work are, would you please, and would you mind. Start out in step one by being aware of how many times you don't ask for support. Become aware of how you do ask when you do. With this increased awareness, then practice asking for what he's already giving you. Remember, be brief and direct, then give him lots of appreciation and thanks. Common questions about asking for support. This first step can be difficult. Here are some common questions which give clues to both the objections and resistance that women may have. Question. A woman might feel, why should I have to ask him when I don't require him to ask me? Answer. Remember, men are from Mars. They're different. By accepting and working with his differences, you will get what you need. If instead you try to change him, he'll stubbornly resist. Although asking for what you want is not second nature to Venusians, you can do it without giving up who you are. When he feels loved and appreciated, he'll gradually become more willing to offer his support without being asked. That is a later stage. Question. A woman may feel, why should I appreciate what he does when I'm doing more? Answer. Martians give less when they don't feel appreciated. If you want him to give more, then what he needs is more appreciation. Men are motivated by appreciation. If you're giving more, it may, of course, be hard to appreciate him. Gracefully begin to give less so that you can appreciate him more. By making this change, not only are you supporting him in feeling loved, but you'll also get the support you need and deserve. Question. A woman may feel, if I have to ask him for support, he may think he's doing me a favor. Answer. That's exactly how he should feel. A gift of love is a favor. When a man feels he's doing you a favor, he's then giving from his heart. Remember, he's a Martian. He doesn't keep score the way you do. If he feels that you're telling him he's obligated to give, his heart closes and he gives less. Question. A woman may feel, if he loves me, he should just offer his support. I shouldn't have to ask. Answer. Remember, men are from Mars. They're different. Men wait to be asked. Instead of thinking, if he loves me, he'll offer his support, consider this thought. If he were a Venusian, he would offer his support. But he's not. He's a Martian. By accepting this difference, he'll not only be more willing to support you, but over time, he'll offer his support without you having to ask. Question. A woman may feel, if I have to ask for things, he'll think I'm not giving as much as he is. I'm afraid. He may feel like He doesn't have to give me more. Answer. A man is much more generous when he feels as though he doesn't have to give. In addition, when a man hears a woman asking for support in a respectful way, what he also hears is that she feels entitled to that support. He doesn't assume that she has given less. Quite the contrary, he assumes she must be giving more, or at least as much as he is, and that's why she feels good about asking. Question. A woman may feel, when I ask for support, I'm afraid to be brief. I want to explain why I need his help. I don't want to appear too demanding. Answer. When a man hears a request from his partner, he trusts she has good reasons for asking. If she then gives him a lot of reasons why he should fulfill her request, he feels as though he can't say no. And if he can't say no, then he feels manipulated or taken for granted. Let him give you a gift instead of taking his support for granted. If he needs to understand more, he'll then ask. Then it's okay to give reasons. Even when he asks, be careful not to be too lengthy. Give one or at most two reasons. If he still needs more information, he'll then let you know. Step 2. Practice asking for more, even when you know he may say no. Before attempting to ask a man for more than what he's used to giving, make sure he feels appreciated for what he's already giving. By continuing to ask for his support without expecting him to do more than he has been doing, he'll not only feel appreciated, but also accepted. When he's used to hearing you ask for his support without wanting more, he feels loved in your presence. He feels he doesn't have to change to get your love. At this point, he'll be much more willing to change and stretch his ability to support you. At this point, you can now risk asking for more without giving him the message that he's not good enough or that what he's done is not enough. The second step of this process is to let him realize that he can say no and still receive your love. When he feels that he can say no when you ask for more, he'll feel free to say yes or no. Keep in mind that men are much more willing to say yes if they have the freedom to say no. It's important that women learn both how to ask and how to accept no for an answer. Quite often, women will intuitively feel what their partner's response will be even before they ask. If they sense that he'll resist their request, they won't even bother asking. As a result, she ends up feeling rejected anyway. He, of course, has no idea what happened. All this has gone on in her head. In step 2, practice asking for support in all those situations where you would want to ask, but you don't because you feel his resistance. Go ahead and ask for support, even if you know he'll say no. For example, a wife might say to her husband, who's focused on watching the news, "Would you go to the grocery store and pick up some salmon for dinner?" When she asks this question, she's already prepared for him to say no. He's probably completely surprised because she's never interrupted him with a request like this before. He'll probably make some excuse like, "I'm right in the middle of watching the news. Can't you do it?" She may feel like saying, "Sure, I could do it, but I'm always doing everything around here. I don't like being your servant. I want some help." When you ask someone for something, and sense you're going to get a rejection, prepare yourself for the no and have a ready answer like, "Okay." If you want to be really Martian in your response, you could say, "No problem." That would be music to his ears. A simple okay is fine, however. In this second stage, it's important to ask and then act as if it's perfectly okay for him to say no. Remember, you're making it safe for him to refuse. Use this approach only for situations that are really okay if he says no. Pick situations where you would appreciate his support, but rarely ask for it. Make sure before you ask that if he says no, you'll still feel comfortable. These are some examples of what I mean. When to ask. He's working on something and you want him to pick up the kids. Normally you wouldn't bother him, and so you do it yourself. What to say? You say, "Would you pick up Julie? She just called." If he says no, then graciously and simply say, "Okay." He normally comes home and expects you to make dinner. You want him to make dinner, but you never ask. You sense he resists cooking. You say, would you help me cut the potatoes? Or, would you make dinner tonight? If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay. He normally watches TV after dinner while you wash the dishes. You want him to wash them, or at least help, but you never ask. You sense he hates doing the dishes. Maybe you don't mind it as much as he does, so you go ahead and do it. You say, would you help me with the dishes tonight? Or, would you bring in the plates? Or, wait for an easy night and say, would you do the dishes tonight? If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay. He wants to go to a movie and you want to go dancing. Normally you sense how much he wants to see the movie, so you don't bother asking to go dancing. You say, would you take me dancing tonight? I love to dance with you. If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay, maybe another time. You're both tired and ready to go to bed. The trash is collected the next morning. You sense how tired he is, so you don't ask him to bring the trash out. Now on stage two, you say, would you take the trash out? If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay. He's very busy and preoccupied with an important project. You don't want to distract him because you sense how focused he is, but you also want to have time to talk with him. Normally you would sense his resistance and not ask for some time. Now you say, would you spend some time with me? If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay, maybe later. He seems very focused and busy, but you need to pick up your car, which has been in the shop. Normally you anticipated how difficult it would be for him to rearrange his schedule, and so you don't ask him for a ride. You take a cab instead. Now you say, would you give me a ride today to pick up my car? It's being repaired. If he says no, then graciously and simply say, okay, I'll just take a cab. In each of the previous examples, be prepared for him to say no and practice being accepting and trusting. Accept his no and trust that he would offer support if he could. Each time you ask a man for support and you don't make him wrong for saying no, he feels loved. He actually feels like he owes you now. Next time you ask, he will be more responsive to your request. In a sense, by asking for his support in a loving way, you're helping him to stretch his ability to give more. I first learned this from a woman employee years ago. We were working on a nonprofit project and needed volunteers. She was about to call Tom, who's a friend of mine. I told her not to bother because I already knew that he wouldn't be able to help this time. She said she'd call anyway. I asked her why, and she said, when I call, I'll ask for his support, and when he says no, I'll be very gracious and understanding. Then next time, when I call for a future project, he'll be much more willing to say yes. He'll have a positive memory of me. She was right. When you ask a man for support, and you don't reject him for saying no, he'll remember that. And next time, he'll be much more willing to give. On the other hand, if you quietly sacrifice your needs and don't ask, he won't have any idea of how many times he's needed. How could he know if you don't ask? As you gently continue to ask for more, occasionally your partner will be able to stretch his comfort zone and say yes. At this point, it's become safe to ask for more. This is one way healthy relationships are built. Healthy relationships. A relationship is healthy when both partners have permission to ask for what they want and need, and they have permission to say no if they choose. For example, I remember standing in the kitchen with a family friend one day when our daughter Lauren was 5 years old. She asked me to lift her up and do tricks, and I said, no, I can't today, I'm really tired. She persisted, asking playfully, please, Daddy, just one flip. The friend said, now, Lauren, your father is tired. He's worked hard today. You shouldn't ask. Lauren immediately responded by saying, I'm just asking. My friend then said, but you know your father loves you. He can't say no to you. Immediately, my wife and all three daughters said in unison, oh, yes, he can. I was proud of my family. It's taken a lot of work, but gradually we've learned to ask for support and to accept no. Step 3. Practice assertive asking. Once you've practiced step 2 and you can graciously accept a no, you're now ready for step 3. In this step, you assert your full power to get what you want. You ask for his support, and if he starts making excuses and resists your request, you don't say okay, as in step two. Instead, you practice making it okay that he resists, but continue waiting for him to say yes. Let's say he's on his way to bed, and you ask him, "Would you go to the store and get some milk?" In his response, he says, "Oh, I'm really tired. I just want to go to bed." Instead of immediately letting him off the hook by saying, "Okay," say nothing. Stand there and accept that he's resisting your request. By not resisting his resistance, there's a much greater chance he will say yes. The art of assertive asking is to remain silent after you've made the request. After you've asked, expect him to moan and groan, scowl, growl, mumble and grumble. I call the resistance men have to responding to requests the grumbles. The more focused a man is, the more he'll grumble. His grumbles have nothing to do with his willingness to support. They're a symptom of how focused he is at the time when he's asked. For example, if he's focused on the news and you make a request, he'll grumble. A woman will generally misinterpret a man's grumbles. She mistakenly assumes that he's unwilling to fulfill her request. This is not necessarily the case. His grumbles are a sign that he's in the process of considering her request. If he was not considering her request, then he'd very calmly say no. When a man grumbles in response to a request, it's a good sign. That means he's considering your request versus his needs. He'll go through internal resistance at shifting his direction from what he's focused on to your request. Like opening a door with rusty hinges, the man will make unusual noises. By ignoring his grumbles, they quickly go away. Often, when a man grumbles, he's in the process of saying yes to your request. Because most women misunderstand this reaction, they either avoid asking him for support or they take it personally and reject him in return. In our example, where he's headed for bed and you ask him to go to the store for milk, he's likely to grumble. "I'm tired," he says with an annoyed look. "I want to go to bed." If she then misunderstands his response as a rejection, then she might say something like this: "I made you dinner. I washed the dishes. I got the kids ready for bed. And all you did was plant yourself on the couch. I don't ask for much, but at least you can help now. I'm so exhausted. I feel like I do everything around here." The argument starts. On the other hand, if you know that grumbles are just grumbles and are often his way of starting to say yes, your response will be silence. Your silence is a signal that you trust that he's stretching inside and about to say yes if he can. Stretching is another way to understand a man's resistance to your requests. Whenever you ask for more, he has to stretch himself to give more. If he's not in shape, he can't do it. That's why you have to prepare a man for step three by moving through steps one and two. Everyone knows it's much more difficult to stretch in the morning. Later in the day, you can stretch much farther and easier. When a man grumbles, just imagine that he's stretching in the morning. Once he's finished stretching, he'll feel great. He just needs to grumble first. Programming a man to say yes. I first became conscious of this process when my wife asked me to buy some milk at the store when I was on the way to bed. I remember grumbling out loud. Instead of arguing with me, she just listened, assuming that eventually I'd do it. Then finally I made a few banging noises on my way out, got in my car, and went to the store. Then something happened, something that happens to all men, something that women don't know about. As I now move closer to my new goal, getting the milk, my grumbles went away. I started feeling my love for my wife and my willingness to support. I started feeling like the good guy. And believe me, I like that feeling. By the time I was in the store, having reached my destination, I was actually happy to be getting the milk. When my hand reached for the bottle, I had now achieved my new goal. Achievement always makes men feel good. I playfully picked up the bottle in my right hand and turned around with a look of pride that said, "Hey, look at me. I'm getting milk for my wife in the middle of the night. I'm one of those great generous guys. What a guy. When I returned with the milk, she was happy to see me. She gave me a big hug and said, "Thanks so much. I'm so glad I didn't have to get dressed." Now, if she had ignored me, I probably would have resented her. Next time she asked me to buy the milk, I would have probably grumbled even more. But she didn't ignore me. She gave me lots of love and lots of appreciation. I watched my reaction and heard myself think, "What a wonderful wife I have." Even after I was so resistant and grumbly, she's still appreciating me. The next time she asked me to buy the milk, I grumbled less. When I returned, she was again appreciative. The third time, automatically I said, "Sure, I'll go get the milk." Then a week later, I even noticed that she was low on milk. I offered to get it. She said she was already going to the store and I didn't have to. To my surprise, a part of me was actually disappointed. I wanted to get the milk. Her love had programmed me to say yes. Even to this day, whenever she asks me to go to the store and get milk, a part of me happily says, "Sure." I personally experienced this inner transformation. Her acceptance of my grumbles and appreciation of me when I returned healed my resistance. From that time on, as she practiced assertive asking, it was much easier for me to respond to her requests. The pregnant pause. One of the key elements of assertive asking is to remain silent after you've asked for support. Give your partner time to work through their resistance. Be careful not to disapprove of his grumbles. As long as you pause and remain silent, you have the possibility of getting his support. If you break the silence, you lose this power. Women unknowingly break the silence and lose their power by making comments like this: "Oh, forget it. I can't believe you're saying no. I do so much for you. I don't ask for that much. It'll only take you 15 minutes. I feel so disappointed. This really hurts my feelings. You mean you won't do this for me? Why can't you do it?" Etc., etc., etc. You get the idea. When he grumbles, she feels the urge to defend her request and mistakenly breaks the silence. She argues with her partner in an attempt to convince him that he should do it. Whether he does it or not, he'll be more resistant next time she asks for his support. To give him a chance to fulfill your requests, ask and pause. Let him grumble and say things. Just listen. Eventually, he'll say yes. Don't mistakenly believe that he'll hold this against you. He can't and won't hold it against you as long as you don't insist or argue with him. Even if he walks off grumbling to do what you've asked him to do, he'll let go of it if both of you feel it's his choice to do it and he didn't have to do it. Sometimes, however, he may still say no, or he may try to argue his way out by asking you some questions. Be careful. During your pause, he may ask questions like, "Why can't you do it? I really don't have the time. Would you do it? I'm busy. I don't have the time. What are you doing?" Sometimes these are just rhetorical questions, so you can still remain quiet. Don't speak unless it's clear that he's really looking for an answer. If he wants an answer, give him one, but be very brief and then ask again. Assertive asking means asking with a sense of confidence and trust that he'll support you if he can. If he questions you or says no, then respond with a brief answer, giving the message that your need is just as great as his. Then ask again. Here are some examples of being persistent. What he says in resistance to her request: "I don't have time. Can't you do it?" How she can respond with assertive asking: "I'm also rushed. Would you please do it?" Then remain silent again. He says, "No, I don't want to do that." She says, "I'd really appreciate it. Would you please do it for me?" Then remain silent again. He says, "I'm busy. What are you doing?" She says, "I'm busy too. Would you please do it?" Then remain silent again. He says, "Nah, I don't feel like it." She says, "I don't feel like it either. Would you please do it?" Then remain silent again. Notice that she's not trying to convince him, but is simply matching his resistance. If he's tired, don't try to prove that you're more tired. and therefore he should help you. Or if he thinks he's too busy, don't convince him that you're more busy. Avoid giving him reasons why he should do it. Remember, you're just asking and not demanding. If he continues to resist, then go back to step two and graciously accept that he said no. This is not the time to share how disappointed you are. Be assured that if you can let go at this time, he'll remember how loving you were and be much more willing to support you next time. As you progress, you'll experience greater success in asking for and getting his support. Even if you've progressed to practicing the pregnant pause of step three, it's still necessary to continue practicing steps one and two. It's always important that you continue to ask correctly for the little things, as well as graciously accept when he says no. Why men are so sensitive. By this time, you may be asking yourself why men are so sensitive about being asked for support. It's not because men are lazy, but because men have so much need to feel accepted. Any request to be more, to give more, might instead give the message that he's not accepted just the way he is. Anytime you ask for more implies to him that what he's done is not enough, and therefore he doesn't feel appreciated. Just as a woman is more sensitive about being heard and feeling understood when she's sharing her feelings, a man is more sensitive about being accepted just the way he is. Any attempt to improve him makes him feel as though you're trying to change him because he's not good enough. On Mars, the motto is, don't fix it unless it's broken. When a man feels a woman wanting more and that she's trying to change him, he receives the message that she feels he's broken. Naturally, he doesn't feel loved just the way he is. By learning the art of asking for support, your relationships will gradually become enriched. As you're able to receive more of the love and support you need, your partner will also naturally be quite happy. Men are happiest when they feel they've succeeded in fulfilling the people they care about. By learning to ask correctly for support, you're not only assisting your man in feeling more love, but you're also ensuring that you'll get the love you need and deserve. Chapter 13, Keeping the Magic of Love Alive. One of the paradoxes of loving relationships is that when things are going really well and we're feeling loved, we may suddenly find ourselves emotionally distancing our partners or reacting to them in unloving ways. Maybe you can relate to some of these examples. You may be feeling a lot of love for your partner, and then the next morning you wake up and you're annoyed and resentful of him or her. You're loving, patient, and accepting, and then the next day you become demanding or dissatisfied. You can't imagine not loving your partner, and then the next day you have an argument and suddenly begin thinking about divorce. Your partner does something loving for you, and you feel resentful for all the times in the past when he or she didn't do that loving thing. You're attracted to your partner, and then suddenly you feel numb in his or her presence. You're happy with your partner, and then suddenly you feel insecure about the relationship or powerless to get what you need. You feel confident and assured that your partner loves you, and suddenly you feel desperate and needy. You're generous with your love, and then suddenly you become withholding, judgmental, critical, angry, or controlling. You're attracted to your partner, and then when he or she makes a commitment, you lose your attraction or find others more attractive. You want to have sex with your partner, but when he or she wants it, you don't want it. You feel good about yourself and your life, and then suddenly you begin to feel unworthy, abandoned, or inadequate. You have a wonderful day and look forward to seeing your partner, but when you see him or her, something that your partner says suddenly makes you feel really disappointed, depressed, repelled, tired, or emotionally distant. Maybe you've noticed your partner going through some of these changes as well. Take a moment and think about how your partner may suddenly lose his or her ability to give you the love you deserve. Probably you've experienced his or her sudden shifts at times. It's very common for two people who are madly in love one day to hate each other or fight the very next day. These sudden shifts are confusing, yet they're common. If we don't understand why they happen, we may think we're going crazy, or we may mistakenly conclude that our love has died. Fortunately, there's an explanation. Love brings up our unresolved feelings.